96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all had a favorite teacher, one who inspired us, one who helped shape us, even one who kept us out of trouble. But with education headlines so troubling these days, is the job they do and the support for the students the same today? We're talking about that on this Teachers Appreciation Day. My guests are Teresa Dudley, president of the Prince George's County Educators Association, and Kimberly Worthy, middle school history teacher at Friendship Woodridge International Public Charter School. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief teacher memory, favorite teacher memory, please share it with us. The lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Kim and Teresa, good to see you both. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon, Harold.
Thank you for inviting us.
This is Teacher Appreciation Day. I'll start with you, Kim. Do you feel appreciated?
I feel appreciated every single day.
As a teacher?
As a teacher.
Why do you say that?
My students, number one. My students thank me even, you know, before the week. I get text messages in class, you know, thank you, you know, just random shout outs and assemblies. I've never learned this before. Thank you for doing what you do. Parents thanking me, tweeting. And then, of course, my administration, my school district, Friendship Schools, they do an excellent job at rewarding teachers, but also just showing their gratitude. And we're constantly being asked for feedback, you know, how are we doing? What do you need to be successful? How can we get more resources to you? So everything I think that teachers need and dream of having, I know that Friendship provides that for us. And I'm very happy, mm-hmm. very happy as a teacher.
You know, Teresa, that kind of story from Kimberly is wonderful to hear, but it's not always the case.
No, it's not always the case. I mean, look, I had Mrs. Ward, my fourth grade teacher, who is the best teacher in the whole wide world. She saw this ADHD girl come into the classroom, and she knew right away that I was full of vinegar, so to speak. You know, back in those days, whatever the teacher said was the rule was the rule. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Ward, the first thing she said to me was, these are the procedures and the expectations, and I'm going to tell you to tell your mom to take you to the arts and crafts store and get you some knitting and crochet needles and some pretty yarn, because I'm going to teach you how to knit and crochet, because she knew I was busy. But while we were knitting and crocheting, she took that time to get to know me and to find out what the real issues were. You know, and when you have a bipolar mother and an alcoholic father, that does a lot to a kid, because home's not fun.
Right.
So when I came to school, it was potty time. Mm-hmm. But she was ready for me. And that was what a good teacher does. They look at their kids and they see what's wrong or what's right with their children, and they do what needs to be done to help that child. And she got me counseling and allowed me to know that what was happening around me is not always my fault.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to grow and settle down a little bit and be a better student. And all of our teachers, and it doesn't matter whether you're working in a public school or private school, we all have that obligation to find out what it is with the kids so that we can help them. And I appreciate, and I talk about this on Teacher Appreciation Day, I appreciate Miss Ward. And I appreciate all the Mrs. Wards, the Mr. Wards, and all of our teachers who do that extra mile for our children.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the job that our teachers do. This is National Teacher Appreciation Day. If you have a comment, if you have a question, If you want to share a brief story about a teacher, if you want to give a shout out about a favorite teacher of yours, please give us a call. Teresa, one of the things that we've seen, not only in Prince George's County, not only in the state of Maryland, we've seen the conversation in D.C. and across the nation, teachers not being paid enough. Is that the only way that teachers need to see a feeling of appreciation? How would you characterize the money
issue? It's not the only way, but it's nice to be able to get your car fixed when it breaks down. I do think that as we look across the country, there are a lot of school systems and where teachers' salaries were depressed during the great economic struggles we had 2007 to 2010. And how we recoup those losses as employees is very important. I know our members in Prince George's County are 3 and 4 steps behind, depending upon when you came in. And I think that it's important for people to realize that jurisdictions like Montgomery County and other jurisdictions are restoring those steps back now that the economy is better. And while money is not the only thing, fully funding our schools really helps. We're looking at the Kerwin Commission this year, and we're also looking at making sure that what was promised through the Thornton Commission actually comes into the classroom. So people ask me, what's the one thing we can do to fix our schools? And I said, do you have 3 days? Because that's what it really would take. Mm-hmm. But what it really is going to take is stakeholders, community activists, parents, teachers working together to reclaim the schools and make sure that all of the negative that is being hurled at teachers and labor unions is handled in a way that makes people understand we're not here because we're suckling at the teat of America. Mm-hmm. We're here because we want the babies to learn. We want to teach.
Well, you mentioned something interesting, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see Kim in action as a teacher. And I would recommend anyone on social media to observe the kind of relationship that she has with her students. And for those of you who don't know, it's almost 10 years ago that she was a District of Columbia, a teacher of the year. But you claim your classroom, just as Teresa was suggesting that all teachers need to have an opportunity to do. How do you do that?
The relationships?
Yeah. Your classrooms are in order. Kids are smiling, which makes me wonder what's in the milk.
Well, it's all about reclaiming humanity. That's what it is, because I'm a history teacher, so I love history, obviously. And I know what the history of this country has done to especially Black children, people of color. It's dehumanized us. It's degraded us to a test score, and we're being used for a test score so we can get more money for our schools and we can, you know, be put in certain research projects. I mean, we're human beings. And so I acknowledge and claim all of their humanity by just, what is your story? What is your story? What do you bring to this table? And I start every year with 6 words, stereotype, prejudice, inequality, internalized, inferiority complex, and reject. I start every single school year with those 6 words. And those 6 words we spend about 2 to 3 weeks on, and it pulls everything out. Every single child for 18 years can remember the day in school when they learned they were inferior.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is Teacher Appreciation Day, and we're talking about teachers, the job that they do, how they inspire us. If you want to tell us about a teacher that inspired you and perhaps even inspiring your children, we'd like to hear from you. Let's talk to Ronnie. Ronnie, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Ronnie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Fisher. Hello, panel. How y'all doing? Mine's going to be real quick.
Go ahead.
I don't know how old you all are, but I'm probably going to be telling my age. Y'all remember Ms. Princess D. Whitfield, who used to run High Street High School in D.C.? Mm. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
Yes, sir. And that lady ran me so hard, Mr. Fisher. Oh, she did me so good. And I'm going to tell you something. I ended up going to college. I got my bachelor's. and my master's. I went into the military as an officer, getting ready to retire as a full-blown colonel, and get ready to go to the government, all because of who? Miss Princess D. Whitfield.
Wow.
Because she would stay on me 24, yes. I mean, she would come through the classroom and stay on me.
Excellent.
And Mr. Fisher, here's the kicker. I'm not going to really tell you what I do for a living, but I went back and I ran her. You know, she passed away on me.
Yeah.
Before I got a chance to show her, like, hey, thank you. Because I didn't know I didn't have a mother. She was like my mama. So these teachers, I love y'all to death. Y'all keep up the good work because
thank
it's
you.
People
thank
like y'all
you.
That.
Ronnie, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate that. Let me talk to Jenny real quick. Jenny calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead. You got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that I really enjoyed my teachers coming up through Jenny.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and my teacher, I was bullied in school in 1977, but it wasn't called bullying then.
Mm-hmm.
But my teacher took me to the Salvation Army on 9th and O Street, and my teacher made sure that they taught me how to box in that ring. And when I got to high school, I was bullied, but I was a knockout artist by then. Then when I got to college, I was in the high skip program, so I went to college a year early. And I got to UDC, and they had a group of people in a computer science organization, and they were sexually harassing the people there, and I dropped out of school. But I since went to law enforcement, and two of the people that bullied me, I made sure that I escorted them from Superior Court to D.C. jail.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for your story. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Teacher Appreciation Day. If you have a story, a short story, or you just want to shout out a teacher who has inspired you, or even a teacher that is now inspiring your children, we definitely would like to hear from you. Of course, I'm talking to Teresa Dudley, president of the Prince George's County Educators Association, and Kim Worthy, middle school history teacher at Friendship Woodridge International Public School. So if you were on the line, that includes Sherry calling from DC, please stay with us. We will talk to you next. Also, Calvin calling in right now. We're also going to talk to you. Lines are open. If you have any difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to your questions. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Teacher Appreciation Day, and we're talking about the job that they do and the inspirational support that they offer our children. My guests are Teresa Dudley, president of the Prince George's County Educators Association, as well as Kimberly Worthy, middle school history teacher at Friendship Woodridge International Public School. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Teresa, talk to me a little bit about, because you're a union head now, so you're not in the classroom.
I just came out when I came out of the classroom to be the president.
Right, as they often do, because you can still go right back in.
Absolutely. And right. That's probably what I will do. I got into education because I love children. And I'm live streaming this on Facebook now. And so a lot of my teachers, hi, everybody, they are, and community members and stakeholders are sending me text messages. And one of my members asked me to make sure that I told you that she's an elementary. Joanne is an elementary school teacher who is totally committed to all of her students. The problem is that she struggles every day with a lack of the basic supplies, such as textbooks, for all of them. And, you know, during Teacher Appreciation Week, especially towards the end of the year, bring a extra pack of paper, you know, the copy paper to your teacher, maybe some extra tissue, pencils.
Let me stop you right there. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to do that. A parent shouldn't have to bring anything other than a child that is ready to learn. And this isn't, let me be clear, this is not a Prince George's County story. We've seen this in Arizona. We've seen it in Kentucky and in other places where we've seen teachers marching on state capitals. Mm-hmm. Kim says she feels appreciated. You say that, you know, many teachers feel appreciated by the work that they do. But who's not getting the message? Why is this an issue?
The elected officials are not getting the message. And I just want to be clear about a couple of things. All of those states that teachers are going out on strike are what they call right to work, where it really means right to treat you bad. And the Maryland is a collective bargaining state, so we have different laws regarding that. But the issue is that some of those teachers have been treated so bad for so long that they have no recourse but to do what they've done and taken a job action such as that. In Maryland, we can't do that. They did it in Harford County in 72, and they all have criminal civil records for it. And I don't look that cute in orange, so I would appreciate it if people would do that. But the issue is what it's doing is it's sending the word out to everybody in the country that you can't keep treating teachers badly. You can't pigeonhole us so that we can't teach anymore. The amount of testing that we are required to give to students between the PARC testing, the HSAs, all of the different tests, the benchmarks, it's so much that the children who need us the most are being tested to death. And what's happening is we're not allowed to give them all that they need. All that we want to do is teach. Just let us teach. And then when we look at how much time is spent on testing, the lack of resources that we have, the overcrowded classrooms that affect a lot of our children, especially in Prince George's County, we're still required to pull the genie out of the hat. And nobody in Prince George's County, not one of my members out of 10,500 of them, get up every day and say, you know what? I'm just not going to do for these kids today. They get up and they do. They reach into their pockets and buy pencils. Many of the teachers buy supplies for the children. And the appreciation for us comes from what Kimberly says, the acknowledgement from the children, the handmade cards that they make. But the big thing for us is being so regulated. I mean, Barbara Mikulski said it the best, and she said, teachers are more regulated than bankers.
The former U.S. Senator from Maryland. Mm-hmm. Before I go back to the phone lines, Kim, what inspired you to do this kind of work? Someone could look at you and say, at first blush, you could write your own ticket and go anywhere you want to. Why do you stay in the classroom?
I stay in the classroom because I truly believe it is my divine purpose. I have left the classroom a couple of times. And when I left, I was depressed, literally. And I knew it was my purpose. My last semester in college at Spelman, when I had to take a class, and I took a course called Advocacy for Urban Schools, and I didn't read the description of the course, and in it, you had to do student teaching. And I was on my way to law school. I said, no, I'm not a teacher. And he said, well, you need to drop this course, but I needed the hours, so I did it. And I fell in love with how empowered my students were at Southside High School in Atlanta, Georgia, because of the content I was giving them. And it made me remember how I felt when I attended Roots Activity Learning Center here in D.C. It's an African-centered school, how students on any level with IEPs or whatever, Mama Bernita said, I'll take them and watch what happens. And I knew from my childhood experience, when you teach black children who they are, who they really are, who we really are, not slaves, where we really come from, and you challenge us because you know we're geniuses and you don't give us baby work, we will outdo anybody like we always do. But so I knew that I was destined to give that same feeling and that same opportunity to students that Mama Bernita gave to me at Roots. And so that's my secret sauce, teaching our children who we are in a very rigorous environment. High expectations, and I take nothing less.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sherry, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sherry. What's on your mind? Sherry, are you there? Sherry, give me a call back if you want. Let's go to Sam. Sam, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sam. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
How you doing? I have one of the callers came in and mentioned Miss Princess D. Whitfield. She was a principal at High Junior High School, 8th and H. And she was one of those type of teachers where she was very straightforward. She didn't tolerate, you know, bullying. She didn't tolerate any nonsense. But she was, most importantly, she was one of those type of teachers that gave up love. I was considered a troubled student at one time, and I ended up going to prison. But throughout that time I spent in prison, the tools that she gave me helped me to become a better person. So the teachers are so important and valuable that it's kind of scary to look at the way the system is operating today. Mm-hmm. They were more hands-on, and it was appreciated.
Well, that's a very important point.
Even the caller said, Ms. Whitfield was one of those teachers that you had to love, and you know, it's, you know, God rest her soul, she's gone, but her life has impacted me even to today.
Teresa wanted to make a comment. Go right ahead, Teresa.
Sam, I think you bring up a very important comment, and that is how teachers are perceived now and the impact that we have. I got a phone call last night from Bianca, who I had in seventh grade at Kenmore Middle School, who is now teaching. Yeah. That's how long I've been doing this. She's teaching now at one of our schools in Prince George's County. And she called to ask me for some advice on how things were. And when you, as a teacher, when you have somebody come back to you and say, I'm proud of you for what you did for me and how you make a lot of the things that I saw you do in your classroom, Miss Dudley, I'm now doing.
Yeah.
It's really a lot. And sometimes the lack of respect for educators gets in the way. And when I say the lack of respect, I mean, back in the day, if your teacher said you did something, you did it. You did it. By the time you got home, you were going to get it. Now the kids got cell phones in the classroom. And if the teacher corrects the child is on the cell phone telling their mother that the teacher did something wrong to them. So by the time the teacher even gets a chance to call the parent, it's a whole nother story. And I'm not saying that all parents, you know, fall for everything that the kids say, but I would ask that people listen to what the teacher has to say and give the educator the benefit of the professional doubt, because it takes all of us working together, you know, and that's why I encourage all of the members of PGCEA to become members of the PTA, because it's the Parent Teacher Association. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love the fact that this day is sponsored by the Parent Teacher PTA nationally and the NEA nationally.
Are you doing a commercial?
I am doing a
commercial. See,
paid for it, so it's a PSA.
We'll let you slide with a PSA, which brings me, I think, to my next question. What do you want parents to know, Kimberly?
I want parents to know that you can trust us with your children. Sometimes I feel like parents don't trust us. And I remember when I was a kid, my mother and father trusted my teachers. When I first started teaching 18 years ago, I taught in an MS-61 in Brooklyn, New York. It was in a West Indian community in Crown Heights. all of the parents trusted me. They knew if I had to call home, it happened. There was no doubting me. There was no, you know, taking the, I mean, I'm here for children. I want children to learn. And a part of it is learning how to behave as well, socially. And so I have to correct behavior that's not suitable for society. And so if I'm calling, trust me. Trust me. Trust me when I give your students, your children, I apologize, rigorous assignments, that I know they can do it. I've had parents say to me, you don't know my child, they can't do this. And I say, well, they did it today in class. You know, like, trust teachers. We know what we're doing. Trust us like you trust a lawyer. Trust us like you trust a doctor. We are professionals as well.
But is that more difficult in this day and age with the scandals that we've seen, the grading and the graduation situation we've seen in Prince George's in the district, as well as in Atlanta years ago? Are some parents being pressed to look at teachers and indeed modern education with a jaundiced eye?
Well, I think part of that jaundiced eye on Prince George's County is inherent in how the media covers Prince George's County. Because when I hear the same,
are you about
story,
to blame the media? Are you about to hit me with the fake news?
You too cute for me to do that. But I'm just going to say that if a news story will happen in Montgomery County, and they will bring Prince George's County into the story when we didn't have anything to do with it. So I think that some of the media that we get, some of the coverage, is, for lack of better terms, they're just looking at the browner people in the Washington metropolitan area. I'll say it that way.
But there are a lot of brown people and always have been in the Washington metropolitan area.
Yeah,
and hold us
to a different standard.
And to your point, even though we did not know about this story, I did see a story today that I thought was fascinating that I guess they were high school students that created a prosthetic arm.
Yes.
It's an amazing, amazing story.
It's in a 3D printer. They created a prosthetic arm.
Yeah.
We have children who have built houses in Prince George's County. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of great things going on
right.
in Prince George's County.
And we don't hear about it.
Well, you don't hear about it because of the politicizing of the school board and what that does above us. Because mm-hmm. the reality is, all of the craziness above teachers keeps on going, and the teachers get up in the morning, they go to school, and we're still standing at the door. I love y'all. Come on in. Let's get to work today. I love you. Show the world how smart you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that we get lost in some of that, and I think we can do better.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is Teacher Appreciation Day. And we are talking to those who know exactly what that means. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kimberly from Fort Washington. So, Kimberly, don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you in just a bit. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
41.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about teachers on this Teacher Appreciation Day. Let's go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kimberly, calling from Fort Washington. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Hi.
Great.
Fine, thanks.
Good. So I have a lot to say, but I'm going to narrow it down to two things.
Okay, go right ahead.
First of all, my favorite teacher in elementary school was a man, Mr. Thomas, and I grew up in New Jersey. He left an impression on me because he was a black male, he was a strong black male, and the way he dressed, which mm-hmm. is going to lead me to my question for the teachers on your panel. My other favorite teacher was my mother and my father. My mother was literally a black history teacher. My father was an FBI agent, but they were my first teachers. Another one of my favorite teachers is sitting there with you, Mr. Harrell, and that's Kimberly Worthy.
Oh, okay.
She
oh my
is
God.
My Spelman sister, my oh. line sister, my sister.
Ah, Kim!
And I knew before she knew that she was going to be a teacher, because she used to always talk about it, Spelman, that she wanted to come back to her home in D.C. and help the children know who they are. Such she didn't realize story. How she was going to do it, but I always felt she was going to be a teacher.
Oh.
My question for the teachers, first of all, I appreciate all teachers, because what you all do and deal with on a daily basis is amazing. My question has to do with style of dress in the classroom. What do you have to say or your opinion on the way teachers dress? It's very lax these days. Growing up, I saw teachers in suits and ties and skirts and pantsuits and heels and dresses. And now I see, and my children have done public school and private. In the public school, I've seen t-shirts and jeans. In my son's private school, he's 7, it's dress. It's almost Sunday best, but you're dressed. So what do you think that effect has on students and parents who come to meet with teachers?
Teresa, I'll let you start with that one.
Well, I will tell you, Kimberly, I taught first grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, and seventh grade throughout my career. And I wear a suit and jacket to school every day. And even in kindergarten, I mean, when I was teaching first and fourth grade, the kids would say, "Miss Dudley, why are you wearing a suit and getting all dressed up every day?" And I said, "Would you ask a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they getting dressed up and going to work with their white jacket on? Would you ask a lawyer why they're dressed in a suit when they go into the court?"
Right.
Because I'm a professional educator. I went to school and got a degree for this. So I can't tell people how to dress, and I wouldn't propose to tell people how to dress, but I do share with our new teachers that come in to our teacher onboarding program, PEEP, every August, that you only get one chance to make a first impression. And children watch you, they key off of you, and if you act like your job is important to them, then your job is going to be important to them. So I think it's important for everybody to dress the part. My daddy always said, if you want to be somebody, you better act like somebody.
But that was for yourself. I think that she's asking a broader question about a dress code for the modern teacher. Are there, particularly in public schools, are there now no enforced standards?
Well, there are standards. I mean, clearly you should be modest in your dress. I mean, if your cleavage is dipping down so far that it's inappropriate to be teaching young male students, that's an issue. I think that the line is between are we going to regulate everything? For example, if a teacher has dreads, is that not appropriate dress code? If a woman is wearing a hijab, is that part of the dress code? So we have to be really careful that culturally we are tolerant of other people's lives and what they might want, how they might want to dress, as opposed to looking at modicum and decorum and professionalism.
Your thoughts about her question, Kim?
So I know Kim very well, my line sister, for over 25 years, 20 years, actually. So I know that she's not speaking about cultural dress codes or anything like that. I know she's speaking of professionalism. And Kim, I don't know if you took any of Dr. Marilyn Davis's class in political science department. But Dr. Marilyn Davis was... it was who I emulated myself when I got into the classroom. She came to class every day in a suit. She was no nonsense. And her face looked every day, "I'm not amused." Every day, like, "I'm here about business." Mm-hmm. And she was the best. Everyone loves Dr. Davis. And we all earned A's in her course. And it was hard. But she commanded respect. And she commanded that we take her class seriously. Like, we respect her so much, we can't even get below an A in her class. And so I took that with me when I started teaching. I took a lot of things that she did. She gave all of us her number. So my first year teaching, I gave every student my number. I wore a suit every day. I was very professional. And it sets the tone. The number told them, I trust you.
Unless, of course, you're wearing those historically appropriate costumes that you often do in your class. Yeah.
Are you talking about the Macy Jimison?
Anything that,
well,
that you do.
I wore a sweatsuit to class one day, and the behavior was different.
Totally different.
The children reacted totally different. And I said, well, I don't think I want to wear a sweatsuit anymore. Mm-mm. Because they key off of you.
Yeah.
And when they come to school, my students knew, don't come into my classroom looking like you just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
We're here to learn. And you have to be ready and on point, because when you go to get a job, you can't just walk in looking any old kind of way. You have to be a professional student. What would a professional student look like? That's what a professional teacher would look like, and everybody's going to treat each other professionally.
Well, I'm waiting on Kim's class on hip hop, the history of hip hop, with her shell top Adidas, the sweatsuit, and the gazelles.
I had students that did that before.
Yes, because that's the kind of
for
thing.
History Day, the competition. And I had, this was in 2012. My students did the history of hip hop. It was phenomenal.
How do you? And I only have a few minutes left, and I definitely need to get this question. And this is for both of you, but I'll start with Teresa. How do you get more Black men and other teachers, other men of color into the teaching profession? Money is always an issue, particularly when head of household is a concern.
Absolutely. In the state of Maryland, in order to afford a 2-bedroom apartment, you have to make $21 an hour. And that comes out to be about $46,000 a year. So if you're just paying rent, what about the rest of the things? So teachers having a livable wage is really important, and the other people that work in the school system, because it's Teacher Appreciation Day, but I'm nothing without a bus driver. I'm nothing without custodial staff. So it affects all of us. But I will say that the concept of males in the classroom is an interesting one, because what do we teach our young men that could possibly want to become teachers? I don't like you. I don't like the way your pants are sagging down. I don't like the way you're wearing your hair. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you talk. Well, is there anything redeeming about me that this teacher likes? And we have to be very cognizant of that, because why would I want to go back to a place where people have treated me so badly growing up? So we have to be careful that we treat them like the men that they are, and also make sure that they understand that there are people that care about them despite whatever cultural differences they have. And that's why cultural bias training is so important for our teachers, and restorative practices is so important for our teachers, because it allows us to be mindful of the harm that we're causing someone when we use language that degrades them on a way that reflects their personality.
Your final thoughts about bringing more men of color into the teaching profession, Kim?
Like Teresa said, what are we teaching in the classroom? What are we teaching about the teacher profession? I hear teachers talk about being a doctor, being a lawyer, and exalting those professions. But I rarely hear anybody say, be a teacher, right? Be a teacher. We have to make the teaching profession as wanted as the other professions. And it's our job to do that in the school. And I do that through providing them a purpose, like by teaching social justice issues, by teaching, you know, our work still continues. A luta continua. We still got work to do. And we need you in the classrooms. We need you as counselors. We need you in the field with us, because I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in the classroom, and I need you to come back and teach the next. And so they think of things. Right now, my students, boys, all boys, are writing a children's book about Black Lives Matter. So they know, like, I'm passing the baton to you. You're on your way to high school. It doesn't end here. Whatever you do in life, you still have to teach.
Yeah, and if they want to, a lot of them want to play basketball and football and be professional athletes. And I try to do career mapping with them so that, okay, so you like basketball. There are a lot of careers in basketball. Maybe you want to, if you like to draw, maybe you'd like to design athletic apparel. Maybe if you like to talk, you might want to be a sports commentator. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if you want to go into medicine, you could be a physical therapist and be a trainer. So education has all of those same type of different career mapping opportunities.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Teresa Dudley and Kimberly Worthy, for coming in and talking to us. And I will tell you that I appreciate you both.
Thank you.
And, you know, my parents who were teachers, and I have cousins that are in the public school system in this area right now that are very young, magnificent administrators and teachers. And so I said,
Albert Lewis.
Albert Lewis. And also Kevin Lewis, who is coming from the Eastern Shore.
Yes.
And now into the Prince George's County school system.
Excellent.
So I salute them as well.
Prince George's.
There you
woo-woo.
Go. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, May 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can
you're
quite welcome. Thank you for coming in. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton.